أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين. اللهم صل على محمد. Brothers, we are going to do tafsir for the next four Saturday nights, and inshallah we will be talking about, for today at least, we will be talking about Prophet Nuh alayhi salam and how Allah narrates his incident in the Holy Quran, and how we can understand his personality from what is narrated in the Holy Quran. Unfortunately, I am a bit pressed for time today particularly, and therefore I will go on for half an hour, but reserve the questions for next week, because then I will be much clearer. I have a commitment today. But right now, I just want to start on helping us understand the personality of Prophet Nuh alayhi salam. Let's start with the beginning. Prophet Nuh alayhi salam came, or rather was the prophet known to us after Adam alayhi salam. I mean, there are prophets between Adam and Nuh alayhi salam whose names are available in our books, like Prophet Shi'ib and Prophet Sam and whatever. But the thing is that Nuh alayhi salam was the most renowned prophet after Adam alayhi salam. The question remains, how long after Adam did he come? The biblical version, the biblical account will tell you that there were 10 generations, around 80 years. That is the Christian version of Nuh alayhi salam after Adam. Well, Muslim scholars differ. They say we cannot pinpoint exactly when Nuh came after Adam alayhi salam, because there is no mention of it in the Holy Quran. However, there is indication in the Holy Quran that it cannot be 10 generations. It has to be much more than 10 generations. Two indicators. Number one, the life of Prophet Nuh himself, where he propagated for 950 years, just propagation. He lived for 2,500 years. That is something different. But just propagation was 950 years. That's what the Quran says. Now, if a person can do tabligh for 950 years, 10 generations is what? 300 years? Secondly, that for 950 years, Prophet Nuh is propagating the message of God, that believe in one God, believe in Allah, believe in this, believe in this, yet nobody believed in him. And from the time of Prophet Adam, where there were followers, there were his offspring, there were his children, there were no traces left that even working on them for nine generations, for 950 years, right? There could be no change. That means that the traces of faith that had been left behind by people during the time of Adam and after Adam had disappeared totally. And it shows a time gap that is much more than just 80 or 90 years from the time Adam alayhi salam to the time of Prophet Nuh alayhi salam. In any case, there is no guaranteeing exactly what time was the number of years Prophet Nuh came after Prophet Adam alayhi salam. That's the first. Second, when we talk of Prophet Nuh alayhi salam as a person, there is description in the Holy Quran that explains the attributes, the characteristics of this personality. Prophet Nuh alayhi salam was first of all the first Ulul Azam Prophet. You know what Ulul Azam Prophet is? We know of five Ulul Azam Prophets, yeah? Nuh, Ibrahim, Musa, Isa, and our Holy Prophet Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These five are Ulul Azam Prophets. Now, what does Ulul Azam mean? Ulul Azam means that these personalities were of firm resolution. Azam, right, means resolution. That means once I decide to do something, I remain firm on it. Nothing will change it. No pressures will change it. Prophet Nuh alayhi salam was one of the first people to show that quality. That resilience, that tolerance, that perseverance that Prophet Nuh displayed in the way of Allah. Right? Prophet Adam did not show that. And no prophet between the time of Prophet Adam up to the time of Prophet Nuh showed that. No. Prophet Nuh was the first person whose faith, whose strength, whose perseverance was so strong that he went on for 950 years continuously without ever complaining to God. And this is where you got to understand. If you look at Surah Nuh, which is Surah number 71, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about how Prophet Nuh is telling God. Now, this is not in complaining. Prophet Nuh is telling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "Oh Allah, this is what I did. قَالَ رَبِّ إِنِّي دَعَوْتُ قَوْمِي لَيْلًا وَنَهَارًا." Oh Lord, I called my people day and night, لَيْلًا وَنَهَارًا. فَلَمْ يَزِدْهُمْ دُعَائِي إِلَّا فِرَارًا. When I call them, it only increased in their rebellious attitude. You know, they wanted to get away from me. وَإِنِّي كُلَّمَا دَعَوْتُهُمْ لِيَغْفِرَ لَهُمْ جَعَلُوا أَصَابِعَهُمْ فِي آذَانِهِمْ وَاسْتَغْشَوْا ثِيَابَهُمْ وَأَصَرُوا وَاسْتَكْبَرُوا اسْتِكْبَارًا. Every time I call them, they would put their fingers in their ears. And they would put their clothes on their heads to cover themselves so that they can't hear, they can't see. You know, they wanted to display themselves as somebody who could not listen to Prophet Nuh, who did not see Prophet Nuh. So they would lift their clothes over their head, they would put their ears, their fingers in their ears. Then Prophet Nuh says, "Thumma inni da'awtuhum jihara." That means I also called them publicly, openly. ثُمَّ إِنِّي أَعْلَنْتُ لَهُمْ. Then I announced to them. وَأَسْرَرْتُ لَهُمْ إِسْرَارًا. And even each one, individually and secretly, I picked on them. فَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ. I told them, seek forgiveness from your Lord. إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا. He was forgiving. يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا. He will send you blessings from the sky. وَيُمْدِدْكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ. And he will give you money and children. وَيَجْعَلْكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ لَكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ أَنْهَارًا. And he will give you gardens and rivers. مَا لَكُمْ لَا تَرْجُونَ لِي. Now all this is narration by Prophet Nuh to the length and extent of what he did for his people. This was despite the fact that these people were not ready to believe, despite the fact that they would ridicule him by putting their fingers in their ears. But he continued, privately, individually, publicly, he never gave up. Now, this is one of the strongest attributes of Allah. In fact, if you look at the life of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, you will find that Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam was also so firm and resolute. He never wished ill for the people. Prophet Nuh never, for 950 years, never raised his hands to curse the people. Never. Even the punishment that came down to his people was decided by Allah, not by prayer of Prophet Nuh, no. Because that was the resolute, the firmness that they had, Prophet Nuh. Prophet Ibrahim, an interesting particular incident in the Holy Quran. Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he was also Ulul-Azm, that means he was also a firm believer of propagating the message, and he was also very tolerant. People disobeyed him, people didn't believe in his message, but he was very firm and continuously persevered. When the angels come with the punishment for Prophet Lut was the nephew of Prophet Ibrahim, right? And he had been sent by Prophet Ibrahim to another place, to Sodom. Now, when the two angels come with the punishment, right, they come first down on this earth, they go to Prophet Ibrahim. When they sit with Prophet Ibrahim, as was his custom, would bring food before them. So my guests, he brought food before them,
he saw that these people did not eat food. So when he saw they did not eat food, فَأَوْجَزَ مِنْهُمْ خِفَةً.
That's what the Quran says. The Quran says. Quran says he experienced some kind of fear from them.
فَقَالُوا لَا تَخَفْ إِنَّا رُسُلُ رَبِّكَ. Do not be frightened. We are the messengers of your Lord. We have come with punishment for the people of Lut.
فَقَالَ إِنَّ فِيهِ لُوطًا.
That community has Lut in it. So the messengers said, إِنَّا نَعْلَمُ مِنْ فِيهَا. We know who is in there, right? We will save Lut and his family, except his wife and so on.
Allah goes on to explain a very subtle, particular characteristic of Prophet Ibrahim, and this is true of all Allah's prophets. He says, when, فَلَمَّا أَطْمَأَنَّ Ibrahim, that means when he was satisfied that now these are messengers of Allah.
بَدَأَ يُجَادِلُنَا فِي لُوطٍ.
Now he starts to argue for the people of Lut.
Now, when he starts to argue, that does not mean he questions the order of Allah. No.
He pleads on their behalf. Why do you want to send the punishment now? Give them some more time. They will believe. Give them time. Right? And the angels tell Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, Ya Ibrahim, la tujadiluna fi amrin qad qada Allah.
Don't argue with us on something that Allah has ordained.
But this was Ibrahim's soft-heartedness, the kindness in him, that he would not bear, he could not tolerate punishment for his people who were against him, who were against his message. You know, our level of tolerance is so small. If somebody doesn't listen to what is right and what is good for them, we say, okay, what the hell, do what you like.
Here was Prophet Ibrahim and Prophet Noah alike. Right? And that is why they were chosen as Ulul Azam prophets. If you look at Prophet Musa alayhi salam, you'll find Prophet Musa went through thick and thin with the Jews. Where the Jews, despite every sign being given to them, right, they still refused to believe.
So, all that, but the level of perseverance and tolerance that was displayed by these personalities made them Ulul Azam prophets. Now, what happened to Prophet Noah? Prophet Noah.
Yes, first of all, 2500 years, he lived a life of 2500 years, was not normal even at the time. You've got to understand that. It is not like you say, oh, old age is now, human beings used to live such long lives, it doesn't work like that. Human beings have always been living lives of 60 to 80 years, and that's been standard. Prophet Noah was an exception. That he lived for 2500 years, out of which 950 years was spent in propagating his faith, in trying to tell people that come to God. Now, when Prophet Noah, and he would have continued, you know, the remarkable thing about Prophet Noah was that he never got tired, and he was so. In fact, there are scholars who call him the father of spirituality as we understand today. That if there was anyone who started sowing the seeds of understanding Allah in the light of spirituality, was Prophet Muhammad. For he used to cry and weep for his sins, not having been taught by angels or by Allah, but by himself. He got to that level of piety. Well, if you look at his life, if you look at what he has done, if you look at his message, if you look at how he talks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you find that he had a unique understanding of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, let's look at what we know of Prophet Noah and Prophet Noah's story. The most common thing is Noah's Ark and the floods and so on, right? Now we know that he is the second father after Adam alayhi salam of mankind. So, what transpired, how it happened? When his mission ended not by him giving up and praying for punishment like we said. It was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who said that now these people, they will be punished. Now, to just tell you the surahs that contain the story of Prophet Nuh, there are four main surahs. There is Surah Nuh itself, then there is Surah Hud, right? Then there is Surah Safan, Surah Shu'ara, and Surah Al-Mu'minun. These five surahs contain stories of Prophet Nuh alayhi salam. Now, just before I go on to the story and the event of Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, another interesting, if you look at Surah Safat, Surah Safat is Surah number 37 of the Holy Quran. In Surah Safat, Allah mentions the story of Ibrahim, of Musa, of Harun, of Nuh. And he starts it in chronology, he starts it with Prophet Nuh, and then goes on to mention Ibrahim, then Musa and Harun, right? Now, in that, after mentioning that they were the ones who came to their people and told their people to believe in one God and so on, the message of that, then Allah says, Salamun ala Ibrahim, for example, right? He says, Salamun ala Musa wa Harun. That means Allah is mentioning that peace be His peace, Salamun, right? Salamun ala Ibrahim, Salamun ala Musa wa Harun. But when it comes to Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, what does he say? Salamun ala, anybody? He says, Salamun ala Nuhin fil alameen. He doesn't say Salamun ala Nuh. He says, Salamun ala Nuhin fil alameen. Right? Meaning that peace be on Nuh out of the whole universe. He doesn't say that for Prophet Ibrahim, he doesn't say that for Prophet Musa, for Prophet Harun, no. For those prophets, he just says Salamun. But when it comes to Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, he says Salamun ala Nuhin fil alameen. That means that if you look at the characters of Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, you find that there are certain qualities you will not find in anybody in the world. Alameen. We're not talking of the then world or the next world. In the whole universe, you will not find people with such qualities. Now, let's come to the event itself. When Allah had decided, right, and He ordered, and He told Prophet Nuh that I am going to punish you now, right? So Allah, Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, said back, if this is what you have decided, then let me ask you for something. And in Surah Nuh, that conversation is recorded. Where Prophet Nuh then asked Allah and says, Rabbi la tazar fihim. Do not leave anybody in them alive. Now that Allah has decided, Prophet Nuh is telling them, do not leave any single disbeliever alive. And then he says, فَإِن تَذَرْهُمْ لَا يَلِدُونَ إِلَّا كافر والله. Now, if you leave any one of them, they will only give birth to somebody who is a kafir. So, the reasoning Prophet Nuh explains, the prayer he asks for is after Allah has decided, right? Once Allah has decided, then Allah tells him, what do you want? He says, look, if you're going to do it, then destroy everybody. Don't leave anybody alive. Except those who have believed. So fine. Except those who have believed. And then Allah orders him that you take a pair from every creature and put them in the ark. Right? Now, how many people were saved? History says 80 people were saved, yeah. 80 is a figure that you find in history. Now, 80 believers, members of his family. In fact, according to some narrations, outside his family, there were only 8 people. 950 years of continuous propagation. And there were only 8 people who deserved to be saved. 72 were members of his families who were believing in him. A total number of 80. Now, what happened was that after he got instructions to build the ark, people used to ridicule him. Ganesh, madman, trying to build an ark right here in the middle of the desert. What could? No problem. But when the moment came so quickly And if you try to compare with the tsunamis that we heard of, right? That is no comparison. No way, because tsunami was just a ripple from a certain part of the world. From Indonesia, there was an earthquake, and that ripple caused a tsunami, correct? Now imagine if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were to tell the earth, wherever there is water, to rise. Tsunami would be nothing compared to the kind of damage that only the earth could do with the water it contained. And yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says that when the time came, He ordered the skies to pour down the abundance of blessings that it normally does, that is the rain. And He ordered the earth to explode open so the water may gush forth. So in between the pouring rain and the waters that were coming down from the earth, within moments, right? In fact, the incident is, if you look at the Quran talks about his son, right? If I'm not mistaken, it is in Surah Hud, where he, Prophet Nuh, after making sure his whole family is in the ark, suddenly sees his son is not in the ark. Water has not started. Rain has started. Now rain cannot come suddenly, that tsunami bit, you know, the sea water. The water that comes from earth rises very suddenly. So when rain started pouring, people said, Prophet, you know, probably Noah is right, let's start escaping. So people started escaping, running around, yeah. Noah saw his son running, so he called out and said, where are you going, my son? Come on the boat. So he said, no. I will go up the mountain and I will save my son. Noah tells him there is no saving the son. There is no one who is going to be saved today. Right? And then the Quran says, فَحَالَ بَيْنَهُمْ مَوْجٌ, that means a wave came in between them. And now Noah could not see son. Now Noah alayhi salam became busy in looking after the ark, after the people who are inside the ark, knowing at the back of his mind his son has just perished. Now when everything had finished, and again this was a matter of minutes, a matter of days, whatever, but it was a short time. People, you know, perished, people disappeared. Then Prophet Noah asked Allah, Ya Rabb, I cannot reconcile these two concepts in my head. What two concepts? One is your promise. You promised that my family will be saved. And one is my son. My son is my family. I cannot reconcile between the two concepts. See, Prophet Muhammad Islam did not suddenly start shouting, my son is dying. No, no, no. He had duties. He had responsibilities. He had to look after him. That is happening. Let it happen. That is what Allah has decided. That was his faith. At the same time, he still had that lingering question in his mind. How do we reconcile between these two concepts? One is the promise, and the promise is always true by Allah. And one was his son, the son who is part of his family. And Allah had promised him, your family and you will be saved. That is where Allah tells him, إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ مِنْ أَهْلِكَ. He is not your family. إِنَّهُ عَمَلٌ غَيْرُ صَالِحٍ. Right? Now, people come up with weird explanations that this is, you know, son of somebody else and his wife may have committed adultery, and you will find all these biblical versions that have even found their way into Islamic books, that, you know, it was his wife had slept with someone else and the son was not his and so on. Walayyadu billah. It's far-fetched because that is not what the Quran means. The Quran means that if that son has no iman, if that son has decided not to believe in you, then he is not your son. That is what the Quran means. Look at the explanation given by Allama Tabatabai. He says, إِنَّهُ عَمَلٌ غَيْرُ صَالِحٌ. That means he is an evil act. The son is an evil act. Not that the son is an evil, the son is an evil person or doing evil acts, no. إِنَّهُ عَمَلٌ غَيْرُ صَالِحٌ. Why? Because he has chosen to defy your faith, and therefore he is an embodiment of everything that is evil. Forget it. He is not your son. وَلَا تَسْأَلْنِي. And do not ask me. right, on what you do not have knowledge. So Prophet Noah then says, thank you. That clarifies. He's not my son. I will accept that. Allah is telling him he's not your son. I will accept that he's not my son. Biological or not, if Allah has told me he's not my son, that's it. Finished. He is not my son. That was the level of iman of Prophet Noah alayhi salam. Now, last thing before I end today's session is that when the boat reached Jodi, you know Jodi, that's the mountain in which the ark stopped here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Mu'minun, I think it's Surah number 24, where Allah tells Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, Surah 24. فَإِذَا اسْتَوَيْتَ أَنْتَ وَمَنْ مَعَكَ. That is when you are settled, you and whoever is with you. عَلَى الْفُلْكَ, that means on the boat, on the ark. فَقُلْ أَلْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ. فَقُلْ, let's say, أَلْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي نَجَّانَا مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. Thanks be to God who has saved us from the zalim people, right? وَقُلْ, then say, رَبِّ يَنْزِلْنِي مُنْزَلًا مُبَارَكًا وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الْمُنْزِلِينَ. Oh Allah, أَنْزِلْنِي means make me disembark. When I disembark, أَنْزِلْنِي لِنُزُلْ, right? أَنْزِلْنِي مُنْزَلًا مُبَارَكًا. Let it be a blessed place when I disembark. You know, why does Allah, and this is the concept which I have mentioned earlier, that why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He has saved them, He has given them, He has promised them salvation. He has promised them all good, right? Yet He asks Prophet Noah to recite a dua that Anzilni Munzalan Mubarak. As I get out of the ark, let me disembark in a blessed manner, to your blessings. Why does he ask? He asks because of a simple reason. That in this system, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to give his blessings to people, right? There is one element that is an integral part. And that element is ask. That even from his awliya, where Allah wants to give His awliya, He wants to give His chosen people that blessed disembarking, that blessed salvation. The one thing that is missing is that even they should ask for it. And so whilst everything is ready from Allah to be granted to them, He says, now ask in this manner and I will give you. Because only that is remaining. Otherwise, I am ready to give you, I want to give you, but as long as you know that, you will not get it. That is why even a person like Prophet Noah was instructed, ask for it in this manner and you will get it. So you can see there are so many lessons to learn from the life of Prophet Noah alayhi salam. Inshallah, next Saturday, I'm sorry, I am in a bit of a rush today, but next Saturday we will take questions on Surah Noah alayhi salam. Prophet Noah, his life and whatever you all have. At the same time, we will look at lives of other prophets in the Holy Quran, most likely Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, how the Quran talks about him and his personality in the Holy Quran. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.